Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. So the theme of today is the letter to the church at Philippi, thanksgiving and prayer. And the context is, I'd like you to turn to your Bibles, and we're reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I'm reading from the English ESV. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this: you who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all part of this, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus, and is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. The ways of God. Now there's a lot in there, and I just want to unpack that today, and I've got three main points as we unpack that today. Really trust that God will enlighten your thinking and understanding, and may this work out in a practical application in your life. So firstly, we're going to look at the elements of joy that Paul brings out. Thanking his God, prayer with joy, partnership and fellowship in the gospel. Secondly, growth in godliness, bringing us into the fullness of the image of Christ, Christ working through you. The beginning of God's work, as it says, partakers with grace and living in the affection of Christ Jesus. And then spiritual maturity, which is for our love to abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, being pure and blameless for the day of Christ, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness through Christ Jesus, and to bring glory and praise to God. So firstly, we're going to be looking at the elements of joy. As I said, there were three elements of joy that we need to be looking at. And so firstly, Paul gets there and he says, I thank my God. Now that's a very interesting thing that he said, I thank my God. He didn't say, I thank our God. He says, I thank my God. Now I want to just say to you, this is very, very important, is that we all serve the same Lord and God Almighty. But the reality, when you confess him as your Lord and Savior, he becomes your God. And that's very important. You need to have your own God. And I want to encourage you, as you serve the Lord Jesus, you cannot be serving my Lord Jesus. You need to be serving your Lord Jesus and your God the Father and your God the Holy Spirit. So that's a very important aspect, because God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And it needs to be an intimate personal relationship between you and him. So make sure that your relationship, and we see right through the scriptures, especially in the gospels, we see under the apostles, and especially Judas Iscariot, never called him my Lord. He called him teacher, and there was never an intimate personal relationship with him. And I really want to encourage you to ensure that Jesus is your Lord. But when he says there, he says, I thank. And I want to just say, the New Testament is such a key thing, this whole thing of gratitude and thankfulness. I really believe it comes out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in your life. It's an outworking of God in you to be filled with gratitude and thankfulness. And here Paul starts his prayer with thankfulness, remembering others. And I want to encourage you to do that, is that in your circumstances that you find yourself in at the moment, don't be about me, myself, I, but be about giving thanks to God for others. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, tells us more about our being thankful. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul brings this out, and I believe it's one of the hallmarks of his outworking of his ministry in Christ, was thankfulness and gratitude. And I really believe that needs to be an outworking of who we are, giving thanks in all circumstances. So may you learn the joy that comes in being thankful to your God. Secondly, he says there, he prays with joy. Very, very important. There's something of praying with joy. I think we still got to discover a lot of this, but so often we pray out of a need environment. We pray out of a desire for our a request to be answered. But Paul says he prays with joy. Now, I think there's a discovery as we work together with the Holy Spirit. There's a sense of contentment. There's a sense of knowing God. There's a sense of this joy that comes by the Holy Spirit causes us to work together with the Holy Spirit and pray for the joy in seeing the needs met. So I think there's an attitude behind prayer that we've got to be joyous in this thing. It's not in the sense of we are downcast or we're not victorious. We need to be in that place to grow in it. So there's a skill of praying with joy. Then he also says that what we need to be doing, we need to be praying for many. He doesn't just pray for the individual. He prays for them all. Now, that is a growth thing, because so often we've been taught to pray individually and for our requests, and that's good. You need to do that, because there's something in bringing your request before God, and you got to do that. And I want to just say to you, so often when you're finding things, you got to work with God to know what to pray for. So often when we pray nebulous prayers. We don't pray specifically, and we don't pray according to the Word of God, and that's why we don't seem to get answers to our prayer. So actually take time to wait on the Lord. Work with the Holy Spirit, let him give you a scripture to give you a promise, and then pray that request, and then leave it with God, and then start to give thanks in that. That's part of the joy as you pray. But as you do that, pray for many. I really want to encourage you as the saints of God, move away from me, myself, I, and pray for many. Do you pray for the church? Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your extended family? Do you pray for the church in this nation and the nations of the earth? Do you pray as you read the news? Do you pray into those circumstances? Because otherwise, you're going to be looking at yourself and your circumstances, and you won't see the bigger picture, and you won't see God working through you. And we have an incredible privilege to pray like that. And then thirdly, under this elements of joy, it's the partnership, the fellowship in the gospel. Now, I want to just say that is a privilege that all of us have. God, if he wanted to save us, he could have taken us immediately and we could have been in heaven with him. But why did he leave us on earth? That we can partnership and we can fellowship in this gospel of preaching Christ, of bringing the good news to those who do not know him, and bringing the good news to those who do know him, to encourage them in the outworking of that. And Paul commended the Philippian church that they would partner with him. So how did they do that? They did that financially, they prayed, they were personally involved in spreading the news in their city and the surrounding region, and even now the borders are closed, now we can be sharing the gospel worldwide. So this partnership is not a natural one. It's not something that's written up in company law. It's something that comes between you and Christ and his church going forward. So this is what we've got to do. We've got to participate in the outworking of Christ and his life and the outworking of his service, the outworking of living for Christ and allowing him to work through us. So I wanted to say this is very important as we as a church need to partnership, because many, if you're growing to maturity, you've got to grow to partner with the church and in the church. So often that's why we gather together. That's why gathering together is so important. It's not just to have a meeting, but be partnering in the gospel. That's why our vision and mission statement is so important, to know Christ and to make him known and partner with the Holy Spirit. This is key. This is absolutely key. You're not to do this alone, but we've got to do it with the Holy Spirit, and we've got to do it with one another. And if you really love the Lord, you will partner with him. And I really encourage you, this is an aspect that you will have to the day that you close your eyes. Partner with the Holy Spirit to preach Christ. So the question, after we looked at those three elements, how is your joy? Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? And I wanted to say, as you apply gratitude, as you apply thankfulness, and you pray and you partner with him, you will start to experience the summing of the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I really ask you that that's where the obedience comes. Grow in obedience to be fulfilling those things. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and grow in you and go forward in that. Now, remember, this doesn't mean that you're going to have an easy walk, that your circumstances are just going to be mountaintop experiences all the time. There are things that are happening in our lives, and you experiencing some of those things at the moment with sickness, maybe financial difficulty, maybe relational issues. There's stuff that you are facing at this point in time. You're not bad and you're not evil because you're going through those things. God has allowed those things, but you can have the joy of the Lord in those circumstances. So what am I encouraging you? Don't look to those circumstances, but get thankful, get praying, and get partnering with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Secondly, I want to look at the topic of growing in godliness. This brings joy. And wonderful, we look at verse 6 again. What does it say in verse 6? And I'm sure of this, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It says here, he who began a good work, not your good works, but God's work in and through you. Now, that's very important, because so often when people come to Christ, they believe upon him and then they try and do the good works. Yes, we've got to allow God to work his work in us. Then out of that, we do good works. Very important. We have a relationship with God, and out of that relationship, we allow him to do his good work in us. So this is God's workmanship. And we need to recognize that God's plan of salvation had nothing to do with us. God's plan. God the Father sent his Son to the earth to go and preach and to tell the world about his love for them, and then went and died on the cross and paid the penalty of death and for our sin, that we could have eternal life and he could come to live inside. That is God's plan. And he hasn't stopped working out his plan, and his plan that's working in your life today, he wants to work that out in your life. So let's not interfere what God is actually doing in your life. So remember, as we look at the scripture, this was not Paul's plan. It was never outworking of what he wanted to do. It was God's plan. What he began, he will finish, and God will finish it. And I want to really encourage you. You might look at your life now and downcast, and you look at your growth in the Lord and you think, wow, am I going to come to maturity? I want to say you will come to maturity. As you work together with God, he will finish the work. Let him take you day by day. Let him teach you. Let him train you. And he will bring you to the fullness of that. I want to encourage you, this outworking of your salvation, work together with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and that he's our guide. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you Christ and to teach you the ways of Christ and to bring you into the life and the truth of Christ, you will find fulfillment and you'll find this joy. And then Paul says that he's got to the place where he's gotten to the place of defending and confirming the gospel. We have a responsibility, folk, is that there's a lot of error out there, and we need to bring it. Even in the life of the church, we need to continue in the defending of this gospel and allowing God to actually do this in our lives. Also, it also says that Paul was confident. I just want to encourage you again. God, as he began this work, will bring it to completion in your life. And in the day of Jesus Christ, what is that? The time believers will be presented to God as blameless. This is God's work in your life. Okay, I've got a bit ahead of myself. So verse 7, it says there, partakers with me of grace. Important, I want to encourage you, is that this gospel that we've been given, this message of good news of Jesus Christ, is all our responsibility. The gospel is under attack. The devil is out there. He's bringing false teachers. there. We see it through people that we relate to that sometimes have a different gospel. And we see it in the internet, and we see it definitely in a world that does not love God that brings a different gospel. So we have to defend, firstly, the gospel. Where there's misunderstanding and ignorance, we need to bring truth. And that's where we need to be loving and kind, but we need to bring the truth. And we need to know the word, and that's why you need to study the word to be approved, that you can actually defend the gospel. And then God needs to confirm his gospel as we go out, and we see that the Bible actually says, as you preach Christ, there'll be a confirmation. There'll be healings, there'll be casting out devils, and there'll be miracles, and there'll be a testimony of God. And that's vital. So we can't just do the academic exercise. We've got to see the supernatural exercise of God confirming his word as we go out there. And that's part of the joy of outworking and partnering with the Holy Spirit, is actually we allow him to have his way in and through us to go and confirm this word. And then part of that thing of growing in godliness is, thirdly, is living with the affection of Christ Jesus. And we read that from verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So here Paul had an intimate relationship with these Philippians. He came close to them, even though he wasn't there for long in Philippi, but yet because of their continued relationship with him, they had this intimacy with one another. So he yearned with the affection of God. So Paul was a Jew converted to Christ, but the Philippians were Gentiles, and their backgrounds and their cultures were totally different, but yet they had an affection towards one another. And this was a compassionate love and an affection for one another. And, you know, there just seems the wonder as we, as the family of God, get closer to one another, this affection. We call to love one another, but there's a depth of an affection as we enjoy one another, as we do things together. Incredible that God brings us together from all different livelihoods, from different backgrounds, different cultures, and God brings us together that we can actually be his family and have affection for one another. And I really do believe that's part of God's plan, even for us at Church on the Way, that we have a love for one another, but God wants us to grow in an affection for one another, the affection of Christ Jesus that comes from within us as we love one another. And I believe over the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead, God's going to grow that in our hearts, that we truly, this affection for one another is going to grow deeper. Yes, we're going to have ups and downs as we do that, but the reality, this affection is going to grow in our lives. So practically, what stops this affection going through the church? And I want to just say is, when we get selfish, what happens? It stops the affection of God coming through. When we get into a place that we might be proudful, we might be jealous, we might be slanderous, and there might be divisiveness that comes through. And that's something that we got to check ourselves, because if our ultimate goal is to love God and to love one another, we got to ensure that these things do not get in the way, that the affection of Christ is not taken away. I want to just say very importantly, this affection is not sexual. Sexuality is only for marriage. And that's where God ordained it, and that's where he ordained it to be outworked. And I want to encourage you, that's where the purity of that is, and that's where the blamelessness of that is outworked in marriage. And I know the church is severely attacked, and men and women are severely attacked at this point in time when it comes to our sexuality. And I want to encourage you, be careful, be careful, be careful of the internet. Be careful of those sites. Be careful that will lead you astray and bring you into place. And pornography is our enemy. And it's trying to destroy men, it's trying to destroy women, and it's trying to break up homes. And it is doing that. And I want to tell you that the spirit of lust is a reality. This affection of Christ is not that. It's an affection from heaven. It's the love of God working out its power in and through our lives. So I just want to say, beware in that the devil will try and tempt us in that area. Be careful of the temptation of the evil enemy at that time, at this time. So I just want to go delve into some of the things that cause us to have an absence of joy. You know, there's a number of points here, and maybe it's too many, but just listen to what I have to say to you. What causes the absence of joy? So we're working towards joy, but what robs you of your joy? A false salvation, firstly. Seeking joy without the Holy Spirit. When you try and do things in your own strength and your own ability, you won't find the joy of God. You need God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal his joy and to be a reality in your life. As in Galatians 5, it says it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Satan and demons will do everything they can to steal your joy. The devil doesn't love you. He hates you because you are in Christ. And he will steal and rob and destroy whatever he can, what you allow him to do. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do not let Satan or his demons rob you of your joy. Thirdly, another aspect that robs you is your inadequate understanding of God's sovereignty. And I want to encourage you, this is very, very important, because you need to know God is sovereign, that he's almighty, that he's all in control, that nothing takes him by surprise. Even when this world that we live at, and we look at the pandemic and so many people dying, even the world wars and all those things, God is still in control, and we trust him in that thing. So when you don't understand that he's sovereign and you question his sovereignty, it will rob you of your joy. What is another one that robs us of our joy? Is prayerlessness. When we do not pray, when we fail to commit things to the Lord, and we worry and we fret and we get anxious, that is that is very dangerous. We are called to a living relationship with the living God, and to pray and to intercede for others. And so often that is missing in the church today. We see the church doesn't always rise up in prayer, and I've just seen it. Many churches do not find themselves at the people. There's a lack of prayer. There's a lack of prayer in people's individual lives. And I want to just say, even you might find that yourself prayerless, and change that. Do something about it. Get to a place where you spend time with God praying. Pray with your family. Pray with your husbands and wives. Let's be praying in that thing. So often we turn and we run to counselors, and counseling is not wrong. But let's turn to God first, and let's seek his counsel and allow him to counsel us to go forward. Fifthly is when our lives are not even, when we unstable, when we go from highs to lows, and we, in a sense, we might get moody, that robs us of our joy. We need to have some stability in our lives. We need to be on a firm foundation in Christ. We cannot be up and down all the time. We need to have stable lives. Sixthly is that when we focus on our circumstances, we don't see God. We look at what we have. We might be looking at the material things. When we've got everything, then we're content. But when we have nothing, we're not content. So we're not seeing God at work in our lives. So whatever your situation is, I don't know where you are, what God's ordained or allowed to take place, be content. That's where you'll find your joy. Seventhly is ingratitude. And ingratitude, as I spoke earlier about thankfulness, this is something that parents, that you've got to train your children to be thankful in all circumstances. Train them to be thankful for the food. Train them to be thankful for the day. Train them to be thankful for their schooling, for their teachers, even the ugly people in their lives. We've got to train people to be thankful. And that's why the church needs to be trained. And today, unfortunately, there's such a lot of ingratitude in life. This robs you of your joy. God has created us to live thankful lives. The next point, number eight, is forgetfulness, where we forget what God has actually done for us. I want you to hear that. You forget what God has done for you and saved you from, not what he's continuing to do in you, but what he did on the cross for you. And as you contemplate that and meditate on that, that Jesus went to the cross for you. And when he died for you. And he took your sin and he took your death. And out of that, you could believe upon him and have eternal life. And you can have his life and you can have him living in you. But when you go back to when you forget the sacrifice that he made, the price that he paid to redeem you and bring you to him, very important that you need to remember that. Then the next point is dissatisfaction with your earthly position. You don't like your looks. You don't know where you don't like where you live. You've never learned to be content, whatever state you are. We need not to get into that position. The fashion of the world and all those things, and I'm not saying it's wrong to put makeup on. That's good to do that and to comb your hair and have different styles and that. But when you're dissatisfied with how God created you and where you are, and you're not going to find the joy. You need to find the joy of the Lord and be content in those circumstances. Fear of the future. That's why we preach eschatology about the future, knowing what's happening. God's going to rapture the church. Are you ready for him to rapture the church? Very important. You need to know where you're going and your trust in God. Never waver in your trust for the living God. The next point, you have uncontrolled feelings. Again, it gets to that one that we need to have balanced lives. We need to be in a place that we allow God to talk to us instead of us talking to ourselves and putting ourselves down. Let God encourage us and help us to go forward. And then self-centeredness. Self-centeredness will destroy the joy of the Lord when it's all about you, me, myself, I. The next one is guilt. We are unwilling to accept the forgiveness of God. If you walk in unforgiveness, fuck, you will not experience the joy of the Lord. You need to receive your forgiveness and you need to forgive others. Very, very important. And then also the last one of this one is unfaithful to the Lord, where you do things and you trust in yourself, you trust in the systems of the world, you trust in your money. You may even be trusting in fortune tellers. You might be trusting in your horoscope. These things are all evil. We do not trust it. You've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And out of that, you will find the joy of the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Never waver in your faithfulness to the Lord. And then your joy will not be robbed. Key component, the joy of the Lord is our inheritance. But you got to ensure that you're not robbed of it. Okay, third point, spiritual maturity. Now, this is where we all got to aim to. All of us, we've got to grow and mature in Christ. We can't continue to drink the milk. As a baby drinks milk. But as you grow, you've got to eat the solid food. And I'm trusting all of you are growing in Christ, and as Christ is living through you, and we got to come to maturity. And Paul gives some guidelines to the church at Philippi how to grow into spiritual maturity. So I read from verses 9 to 11 of chapter 1, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what does Paul say there? My praise that your love may abound more and more. Now, again, I say again, love was never known. They had to find another word for love when they wrote the New Testament, and they took the Greek word agape. And agape is the noun, agapeo is the verb. So God is love, which is agape, and we are to love one another, which is agapeo. Now remember, this love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5, verse 5. But you see, this love comes from heaven and it comes from Christ. Christ has given this love. It's not natural love. It's from heaven. It's divine that's been given to us. But Paul gives the secret here. It's not only to know that God is love, but we might abound in the love of God more and more. And I want to encourage you, Church of God, abound in the love of God. This is something to desire, something to set your target on, to aim for in your life. Paul prays for them to do this. And I think the church in Philippi was successful because the love of God is key in all our lives. Last night, we took some time off as a family, and we watched a movie. It was called Wonder Woman. So I know it's a sci-fi and all those things and based in the things, but there was a message in that came out at the end, and it was this evil that was trying to come over good, and this evil was all about hatred and trying to destroy. And then Wonder Woman comes and says, it's love that's going to save the world. And you know, she's right. That love does save the world, but Jesus is love, and he did save the world because he went to the cross and he died for us. But you see, it wasn't just on the cross. Christ has come to live inside of us, and his love still wants to continue to bring his outworking of his life to this world. And that's what I really want to encourage you, is that we need to abound in love. Pray for this. You know, this is something Paul prays for the church to abound in this love. And I want to encourage you to grow in this. Pray for yourself and pray for others to abound in the love of God. Pray for us as a church that we would abound in the love of God, that we would see more and more. You see, there's multiplication for this thing. It's not a static thing. It can grow because you can't fathom out what the love of God and the immensity and the expansiveness of what it is. Let this love grow in our hearts and grow in the outworking. Let the not only the agape, but the agapeo, may the expression of love grow through us. You know, our vision and our mission at Church on the Way is to know Christ. But how do you know Christ? Is to love Christ. That's very, very important, to love Christ. And then it is to make him known. But how do you make him known? Is to love others. And I want to encourage you this again, this agape, it's become agapeo in all our lives. And may we grow in that. May we grow in obedience as we work together with the Holy Spirit and partner with him to grow in this love, to going forward. Key element of working out maturity in Christ. So the second point out of that, it says there that this love must grow with knowledge and discernment. This knowledge is insightful knowledge that accompanies love. You see, love is a lamp of knowledge. We cannot allow it to be superficial and emotional, but it's got to grow into a depth of knowledge. So there's a knowledge that God is all wise and all understanding, and love encompasses that. But this knowledge needs to work together with love. So it's not just the word of knowledge that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, but it's an outworking with wisdom. If we lack wisdom, we need to ask for wisdom. And this is the knowledge that actually comes as we work out, as we work together in love. And God wants us to be knowledgeable. That's why we need to study the scriptures. That's why we need to work together with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to trust him. He wants us to be wise. That's why we need to have the mind of Christ. As we know, as we hear him, that we can apply ourselves. May we be known that we are knowledgeable in the love of God as we go forward. And as that, also with the love comes discernment. Now, discernment is a gift by the Holy Spirit. But as we grow in the love of God with knowledge and discernment, we'll be able to determine the difference between good and evil. Very important. In the world today, the lines aren't always so clear, and we need to determine what is good and evil. And the love of God will show us what is good and evil. And then it says we're able to test and prove what is excellent. This love with knowledge that leads us with the skill of discernment. So may we grow with wisdom. May we grow with understanding with the love of God. Very important to grow. This is a growth process. You will grow in it, work together with the Holy Spirit. You will grow in him with him. And then be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This knowledge of love leads us to purity. And I want to just say to you, pure and blameless, this is a work of God, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit, and he presents us on the day of Christ pure and blameless, but we need to work together with him. So we've got to be very careful. Later in Philippians will tell us what we're thinking on and what we're looking at. So you've got to be careful what comes in through your eyes. You've got to be careful what comes in through your ears, and you've got to be careful what comes out of your mouth, because that determines your purity and your blamelessness. We're all guilty. We're all fallen short when it comes to those areas. But I really ask you, work together with God, the Holy Spirit, that what you see and what you hear and what you speak, these aspects will be pure and blameless. Now, if you've fallen in that area, ask God to forgive you. Repent, change your ways. That's what repentance means, change your ways. And get back following God and start to live what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you as you live in Christ. And then it says in the last verse, verse 11, it says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Filled with the fruit of righteousness through Christ Jesus. I want you to see that through Jesus Christ. It's through Christ. It's not something that we produce again. It's by grace. It's God's help working through us, but it's a fruitfulness of his righteousness. We've been imputed the righteousness of God. And as we live this pure and blameless life, there's a fruit to God's glory as we live that. And I want to encourage you, and the joy of what we've seen in our lives, the fruit of righteousness, as we've been praying for righteousness in our nation, we've seen some of those things taking place in our nation where we see the justice system and the police force, and continue to pray for our nation in this difficult time where there's some contentious things, as there's a fight for righteousness in our nation. Continue to pray and believe God, but do that in your life too. May you exalt righteousness. May you do things right in your life, in the outworking of your life, as you love one another, as you transact in life. Make sure your righteousness is impeccable as you work together with God. Make sure that when you fill in your tax return, when you do those transactions businessly, don't do those cash transactions. Do the thing. Pay your VAT. Pay your pay as you earn. Do things correctly. Honor God in that thing. Our righteousness has got to be a hallmark of the church, because that will, as the proverb says, will exalt a nation. It's the church that needs to walk in righteousness. Right standing with God, right standing with others. And may that fruit be coming through. And remember, it's outworked through the agapeo working through our lives. And then finally, the end goal is to glorify and praise God. Key. We do not do it for self-fulfillment. We do not get it for our place, for us to be praised in the outworking as we live in Christ and Christ lives through us. It's for God to be glorified and to be praised in our lives. So I really trust you, as I summarize this portion of scripture, may these elements of joy, may the elements of godliness and spiritual maturity, may you find the joy of the Lord as you apply things. There's been a lot to be said today, and allow the Holy Spirit to digest that in your heart and as to work it out, the things that you need to go and apply, but allow God to work that in your life. This is a great encouragement to us. God wants us to grow into maturity. Practice these things. May there be a change in your life as you live, as you've heard the word of God. Make sure that you're thankful, that you're praying and you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. Grow in your godliness. Let God finish his work in you and grow into spiritual maturity, abound in the love of God. Amen. I'd like to just call on those that are out there today. You've heard this message. You've heard us talk about Jesus and the good news and the life that he has for us. Maybe you do not know him today. And I really want to encourage you, as you're watching this YouTube or Facebook, and you want to know Jesus, I want to tell you, you can believe upon him today and he can become your Lord and Savior. And you can get to know the living God and allow him to come and live in your heart and express himself and live his life in and through you. If that's you today and you want to turn and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. I believe that you are Lord, that you're almighty, that you paid the price for my sin and for my death. And now that as I believe upon you, that you come to live inside of me, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to follow you and help me on this journey to please you and to bring glory to you now. I seal this transaction now in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you did that today, there's a form at the bottom on YouTube there. If you fill that in, your commitment to Christ, we'd love to follow up on you and just encourage you on this journey as you follow Jesus. It is a journey. This is a start, and you need to grow in that journey going forward. Amen. Thank you, church. We love you. We just ask that you continue to pray. We love to see you at the prayer meetings. Continue to stay safe and be wise in the season and hear what the Spirit of God has actually said to you. I'd just like to pray a blessing over you as we close this time together. Father, we thank you that we belong to you, that Jesus is our Lord, that you're the head of your body, Lord, and we are your body. We ask, Lord, as we go into this day and into this week and to the season that we have, help us to discover and to know the joy of the Lord. Help us to work out these elements that you've brought out today, that, Lord, that freedom and liberty would come to us. And that, Lord, that we would honor you and that all glory and all praise will be given to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. It's been wonderful to be with you. Go and share the good news of Jesus. We will see you during the week. Lots of love. Bye.